Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of our God. Bless his holy name. He is worthy of praise. We worship his name. We glorify him. Thank you all for being here this evening. You could be anywhere else tonight, but you are here in the house of God.
Amen.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for making the commitment. And even you right now watching online, thank you so much for tuning in right now. And I do notice that the view count goes up throughout the week. I've mentioned this in the past. On the day that it's live streamed, it's usually the count, the watch count, it's relatively on the low side. But as days go on, people go back and they watch and everything. So may God bless you. As I say, may the Lord bless you profusely,
yes.
Tremendously. Bless your socks off. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us and tuning in and hearing the word of God. So, praise the Lord. I have quite the verse list. I wanted to share every single verse here that I have on my notes for today. And because it's extensive, I might turn this into a two-part sermon. That's usually how that works. If I have a ton of verses, I don't like to go easy on verses. I like to expound on them. I like to explain. And sometimes I just flow and speak about things that aren't even on my notes as the Lord develops these things on the fly, so to speak. So if in case this happens here, we're going to continue to talk about this next week. But before we get any further, let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer, shall we? Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We bless your holy name, Lord. Lord, you are awesome. You are wonderful.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for the fact that you have never abandoned us.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that your spirit has never departed from this place. I thank you, Father, for every single thing, Lord, in our lives and how it teaches us, Lord. Different aspects of life, different situations, teaches us, Lord, how to be overcomers, and so many other things, Lord. And Lord, as I share your word right now, Lord, I pray that everyone that's listening and everyone that's watching, everyone that's here right now, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will open their minds, their thoughts, their eyes and ears, Lord, to what you are saying. Be glorified, Lord, this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to jump right into the Word of God. Please turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 32. That's going to be our opening scripture here for this evening. It's already up on the board, but I'm going to give you some time here. All right, it's already online. All right, 1 Corinthians 10:32 says, "Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greek or to the church of God." A simple verse. It's a command given by Paul. Paul is saying, do not offend. Give no offense to anybody whatsoever. Right now, he mentions the Jewish people. He includes also the Gentiles. And after he's finished with that, so now, moreover, finally, most importantly, inside of the church. Make sure that you're not offensive. Make sure that you don't provoke certain things, which I'm going to expand on that a little bit, just a little bit further down. And if you notice that the Apostle Paul is writing this message to church members. He's writing this message to Christian people. Not unbelievers. He's not addressing the unbelievers here and advising them not to offend fellow church goers. Now, I haven't introduced my title yet. I'm going to take the moment right now to do it. Right now. The title here is The Importance of Forgiveness. Right now, Paul is talking about people offending other people. Watch it. Make sure that you're not rude. Make sure you're not saying certain things you're not supposed to. Arrogant and so many other things. But I'm equally also going to speak about the importance of forgiveness. How much stock do you put on forgiveness? Just a plain question. How much do you think that forgiveness is important for a Christian person? Super, you said very, right? Extremely, I got another extremely over there. 100%, I love it. 100%. It is crucial. It is vital. It is extremely important that we forgive. Equally now, on the same side of the other coin, Paul is also saying, dude, don't be offensive, all right? Yes, we're supposed to forgive. But you can also work on the way you say things, the way you carry yourself. You know, be a witness for people out there. Be a witness to the people, the Jews and the Greeks, the Gentiles, and everybody else in between, your neighbor. But most importantly, watch what you say, watch what you do when you come to the house of God. Now, this is Paul speaking here in Corinth. Now, what did our Lord Jesus say on this similar topic, on this discussion per se? Let's turn the pages right now to Matthew chapter 24, and we will read two verses. We're going to read verses 9 and verses 10. All right, thank you. And the word of God says, then they will deliver you. Now, then is in the end times, just so you know. Then in the end times, they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Speaking about the end times. Speaking about the latter times. And then many will be offended. People will be betraying one another, backstabbing, backbiting, back anything, turning on one another. I've been seeing a lot of that lately. People leaving the congregation, this congregation, other congregations. People coming from other congregations to this congregation, mentioning that they were hurt by someone in their previous church. They were hurt by someone by their pastor, by their leader. We are starting to see what our Lord Jesus said right here, right now, in these end times. Many will be offended. Many will betray one another. And then it wraps up by saying, and will hate one another. You see the importance now why Paul said, hey, watch it, dude. Be careful. Don't be offensive. Don't do this. Don't do that. Out there, in here. Are we connecting the dots so far? Our Lord Jesus right now tells us of a future time when people will offend each other, even to the point of betrayal. Now, what else does our Savior tell us about offenses? What else does our Lord say about all these things? Now, let's go and jump to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. I'm ready for the verse. Then he said to the disciples, "It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones." Now, if you ask me, that's serious business. That's serious talk right now. It is better for you to tie a cord around your neck with a heavy stone at the very end and basically end it all right then and there than for you to offend someone. But then the Lord was very descriptive as far as the type of person being offended here. What does he call them? What does he call them? Little ones, right? Who are the little ones? I hear children right now in the crowd. And as a matter of fact, usually this term refers to children. Absolutely. And also the newer members of the church, the newer attendees of God's congregation, not just children, the new in the faith, the one that's still building up, the one that is just up and coming. But the term might also refer to those who perhaps tend to be also a little bit on the sensitive side. We all know someone who has a sensitive spirit, I would assume, right? We all know someone who, they're a little bit on the softer side. They might be easily offended. They might be easily hurt. It could be because they might have been hurt their entire life. It could be because they've gone through so much that now they just have this big wall in front of them. And we are commanded to notice these things, to see these things, and to act appropriately. Our Lord Jesus said, it's better for you to do something else, which is mentioned in here. Some people might even consider that suicide. But it's better for you to take yourself out than for you to hurt and offend these little ones, including children, including the new believer, including the person that is sensitive to things. So, if our Lord Jesus said that this is impossible, that no offense should come, then how should we handle those offenses when they do come? Right? Because they are going to come. People are weak. People are silly. How many times, and when I read about Peter, the Apostle Peter, how many times have he shoved his foot in his mouth and said so many silly things? Peter, what's the terminology? Wore his heart on his sleeve, right? That's the terminology that I want to use. He was an open book. He was all out there. What he thought, he spoke, including cuss words. You know which part of the Bible I'm referring to right now? When he denied Jesus three times? The Bible says he started cussing the man. This is Peter. Casting out demons, Peter. Healing the sick, Peter. You know, before this is the guy that walked with the Lord Jesus for 3.5 years. And now he's cussing up the man. Cussing up a storm. A man who was all out. Let me be honest with you type of guy. Let me be fully transparent with you. You think Peter offended a couple people here and there? I'd say so, right? But nonetheless, I was doing a devotional this week, and twice this came about, how around when the Lord did the Lord's Supper there, right before his crucifixion there, they had the Last Supper, and then the Lord washed their feet, right? And then when he got to Peter, I said, "Whoa, Peter, this is beneath you," right? And Jesus said, "If I don't do this, you have no part in the kingdom. You're out. Forget about it." And then Peter immediately said, "Oh, Lord, then okay, then not just my feet, but my head and my hands. Just give me a bath, Lord." And I wonder if he said that in a chuckle. This is Peter. But nonetheless, ultimately, if offenses are going to come, how do we handle it when they finally do come? Now, keep in mind that no matter which side of the fence we are in right now, whether we are the offended person or whether we are the offender, it will not be easy for either of the two parties. It won't be easy for the giver. It won't be easy for the listener or for the receiver, whatever it might be. Solomon writes in Proverbs chapter 18, verses 19, these words. It says, "A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city, and contention are like the bars of a castle." Strong words here. Someone who is offended. If you've offended somebody, how strong it is for you to gain their trust, for you to gain their friendship, for you to gain their love. Sometimes in certain situations, we never get it back. It's never the same. Also, another reason why it's very important for us to not offend people, for us to always be watchful in what we say, in what we do. Contention, Solomon right now is describing as like the bars of a castle. Feud, dispute, and everything else in between. No feuds so difficult of adjusting as those of relatives. Why do I say relatives? Because relatives are people that you trust. Who do you trust more than your cousin, than your brother, than your parent? And hence, great care ultimately to avoid trying to offend those types of people. Now, I just mentioned all these family members: brother, sister, cousin, mother, father, aunt, grandparents. These are all family members. Now, how about your brother and sister in Christ? The people that we will be around for eternity when the Lord Jesus comes back. We got to deal with each other forever, along with the Lord Jesus. And hence the title right now, The Importance of Forgiveness. How much stock do you put in forgiveness? How important is it? Extremely important. And this is why we should avoid. Now, what we should do. What should we do, I'm sorry, if in case somebody did offend us? I'm going to right now stick to the church setting. If it is God's will for me to continue this, if I get through this sermon here tonight and speak about outside of this, I will. But just for now, for tonight at least, I want to speak about inside of the church. What happens if someone inside of the church offends you? Rubs you the wrong way? Should we immediately go to the pastor and demand that that person should be defellowshipped? Should be cast out? Pastor, you need to kick this guy out. You need to kick this gal out. They're no good. Should that be our first concern? Our first reaction? No, that is correct. It should not be. Should we immediately be running all of a sudden and cry the blues? Of course not. Instead, we should use our Lord Jesus Christ's four-step plan, which he gives us in the book of Matthew, chapter 18, and we're going to cover 15 through 17. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear you, take with you one or two more, that, and here's a quote here, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. I almost want to put the word then. Then tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. These are words from our Lord Jesus Christ. How do you like that? How do you like that plan? Sometimes that plan is a little bit hard to execute. I tell you, it's a little bit tough. Here, I'm going to pull up my notes here. Just want to bring something to light. Here we go. Praise the Lord for technology. Thank you, brother. Brother said, amen. Right now, our Lord Jesus is talking about a brother. If a brother has offended you, these are the steps that you take. First, you start with this. And when he says brother, he's meaning anyone with the same, I'm going to say, religious society. I'm going to say in your group. Group meaning your church. The church that you attend. The people that you congregate with. The brothers and sisters that you fellowship with. If this is the brother that we are referring to right now. And then he says, tell him of his faults between you and that particular person alone. Have a sit down with them. Speak to them. Say, hey, I didn't like this. I did not like that. Let's talk about it. Were you going through? Are you going through a divorce? Are you going through a hard time at work? Are you struggling right now with a terminal illness? What's happening? It could be a variety of things. People have bad days, you know. People go through struggles. And a lot of times that translates to their attitudes. And this is why Paul says, be careful not to offend people at your church. He included the Gentiles and the Jews. But it's inevitable for us to not be offended from time to time. So, there are three steps right now into church discipline. We're going to go one by one. First, we settle all personal differences between you and that person. Keep it tight. Keep it between you and him. May I please have Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 through 26. And it says, therefore, this is important for us to do this. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled with your brother and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge and the judge hand you over to the officer and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you paid every last penny. Hear this verse. Starting on verses 23, it talks about worship. It talks about service in the house of God. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, when you bring your gift to the house of God, to the presence of God, your good works, your good deeds, the things that you do for the kingdom of God, and I'm going to include your worship, because your good works and your good deeds is an act of worship. Before you do this, if you remember that there's a dispute between Sister Mavis, right? Or Sister Macaroni. But for short, we're going to call her Sister Mac. If you and Sister Mac and Sister Mavis right now have a dispute, or Brother A, B, and C, make sure that you put everything down. Run to this brother. Make sure you square that off. Because if not, you don't want to see the consequences out of this. And believe me when I say you're going to experience and go through the entire trial in its entirety. And most oftentimes than not, I will say this very vaguely. It doesn't matter how much we pray for you. It doesn't matter how much I pray or somebody else's pray or the elder pray or whatever the case might be. You are going to pay your debt. The Lord here right now, assuredly I say to you, but you will by no means get out of there till you have paid every last penny. Again, I revert to the title of this sermon, The Importance of Forgiveness. The importance of reconciliation. It has so many effects on our financial status, on our health status, on our communication with God, on our relationship with man. We should love one another. It doesn't just end there. Let's jump now to Luke chapter 17, verses 3 and 4. Luke 17, 3 and 4 says, "Take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day he returns to you saying, 'I repent,' you will forgive him." Seven times. It's equally important for us to forgive someone who offended us, no matter how big or small, as it is for us to be careful not to offend people. Of course, I sometimes offend people. Sometimes some of the things that I say up here in the pulpit might be taken the wrong way. I bless the name of the Lord that we have congregants here who, if in case they don't understand something or if in case they need further clarification, or if maybe they were just taken back about something I said, they'll come to me on a one-on-one basis, personally, and we'll talk about it. I'll explain myself and everything else, and every single time we walk away, perfect. Like, sorry, I meant to do this, right? I don't mean like we kiss and make up, but I meant to say everything is just peachy, right? Back to peaches and cream, right? But it's very, very, very much important that we, on the other side of the fence now, right? We that are offended by something, seven times the Bible says, if this guy or this gal offends you seven times in a day, You will. You will. You shall forgive him. This is true for everybody, folks. Even more so for the unbeliever. Even more so for those who need to experience this love of God. Experience Jesus in you. Amen? Oh, how are we doing in time here? Should I continue this next week, or can I just go a little bit further here, 5 minutes? Or we're on it for about 30 minutes now on the live stream. Yes, praise God. Thank you for being patient, by the way. Give me about 5 more minutes. Let me get through here to these key points here. If in case this doesn't work, confirm your efforts, your personal efforts right now with 2 or 3 other witnesses. And here, listen to what 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 has to say. I'm sorry, was that 2 Corinthians? Thank you, Dion. Appreciate that. This will be the third time that I come to you right now. All right? The third time. By the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, every word shall be established. Now, where did Paul get these words from? He got them from the Old Testament. He got them from the book of Deuteronomy. Specifically, Deuteronomy 17:6. I'm ready for that, please. Deuteronomy 17:6 says, whoever is deserving of the death penalty shall be put to death on the testimony of 2 or 3 witnesses. He shall not be put to death on the testimony of 1 witness. Right here, it's clearly being told that someone will not be punished just for what he said or for what she said. Now, there's an offense, there's a dispute, there is a charge. And here in this particular situation, of the death penalty, this is a serious charge. But no matter how serious it is, if you can't resolve it between you and him, or between you and her, now we're going to need 2 more witnesses. And then this is going to be resolved. Further down the road now, 2 chapters over, 19 now, chapter 19, verses 15, says this. 1 witness shall not rise against a man concerning any iniquity or any sin that he commits. By the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, the matter shall be established. Now, the question that I have to you right now is this. Should it get that far to 2 or 3 witnesses? It should never get that far. Things should never be stretched that far out when you have to bring somebody else in. Bring 2 more people in. Let's go ahead and squash it right now. Squash the beef. Let's go ahead and put it to the side. Right? Brother, I'm sorry. I forgive you, my brother. I forgive you, my sister. Do not let it escalate, because when it escalates that far, judgment will be placed. A matter will be settled. And you don't want to be on the wrong end of that settlement. In this particular situation, you don't want to be found in the wrong. Now, suppose this individual is still stubborn and still unforgiving. Right now, the Bible says, bring him or her in front of the congregation. And if this individual still refuses, by all means, to reconcile with his fellow brother or sister in Christ, then let him be excommunicated. Cut off. Treated like a tax collector. Treated like a heathen. A no good, a good for nothing. Treated like someone who is toxic. This is our Lord Jesus. It's very important for us to understand that if men will not forgive, neither will God forgive them. It's very important for us to understand this. How important is forgiveness in our faith walk? To the importance that God will not forgive your trespasses. You know where I'm going with this. May I have Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, because it's inevitable, if you don't forgive them, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. How important is forgiveness? The importance of forgiveness is very, very important.
Amen.
So important. And there are so many preachings and so many teachings about forgiveness, and it's for a reason. God is saying to his church, dude, don't go there. Forgive. Forgive by all means. Act on it. Don't sleep on it. Don't meditate on it. Don't inherit sickness, cursing, or curses, or any other thing. Forgive. Because the worst thing that can happen, the absolute worst thing besides everything I just finished mentioning right now, is your Heavenly Father not forgiving you. It can't get any worse than that. May I please have Mark chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. And whatever and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. I can't say it any other way. The Lord can't speak any more clearer than that. We have to forgive. We have to forgive. Continuously. We must watch what we say, what we do. We must be careful to not put somebody in that situation to where as though they're offended, that they're hurt. But the Lord say, that's going to happen, bro. That's going to happen, man. But when this happens, forgive. I'm determined to get through this sermon. I beg for 5 more minutes. Let's get the rest of the next scripture. Romans chapter 16, verse 17. It says, now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses. Contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. Very important, folks. Watch out for those troublemakers. Watch out for those that like to gossip. Watch out to those that like to speak behind the brother's back, the sister's back, the pastor's back. Avoid them. Those folks, by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, I will take action against those folks. We protect the church. We protect God's house. And if they don't want to make things right with God, you're not going to sow contention in the house of God. Certainly, may not be the most pleasant way of resolving problems. It would be much easier to just give it to the pastor and let him resolve all these issues and all these problems. But this is the method that our Lord Jesus commanded his brother and sisters to use right now, this evening. Understanding our frame. Understanding one thing. And I want to end this evening's service with this, that our God is merciful, that our God is awesome, and He always, always leans towards mercy. Always. 3 times He repeats it. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. This is the God that we serve. First instance right now comes from Hosea chapter 6, verses 6. We're going to go straight through three verses right now. It says, "For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offering." This is what God wants. This is what he's after. I desire to give you mercy and not judge you and not give you wicked things and not allow this to happen and not allow it to happen. But moreover, I want you to understand who I am. I want you to know me. I want you to know my name. And if this is what God wants from us, we must also be like God and imitate him and show mercy and forgive. On right now to the New Testament in Matthew chapter 9, verses 13. It says this, "But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice." This is our Lord Jesus right now. "For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repent." God is a God of mercy. He's repeating himself right now. And right now, jumping into chapter 12, verses 7, he says this. Yeah, have that, please. "But if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless." Three times now, our Lord's saying right now, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." He says, you should know what that's all about, bro. You should know what that's all about, dude. You should. Know this. This is who I am. He gets very personal about it as well. In Matthew 7, our Lord Jesus names mercy as one of the primary beatitudes or attitudes to be in. That's what beatitudes are. Did you know that? Beatitudes. They're attitudes that we should be in. And he says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Doesn't he say that? Blessed are the merciful, because you will obtain mercy when you show mercy. You will be forgiven when you forgive. This is the importance of forgiveness. And here, in a very personal and positive setting, we begin to see mercy's cause and effect. Cause and effect on this simple principle. Show mercy and you will obtain mercy. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Whew. Thanks for staying with me. Praise the Lord. Give him praise. Let's conclude with a word of prayer. Lord, as we always say, we love you. Lord, we love you so much. And Lord, thank you, Lord, for loving us. Even though, Lord, at times we did not deserve mercy. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to show, Lord, the same mercy as you show us to our fellow man who we see. Our fellow man, Lord, who we interact with. Help us, Lord, to have a soft heart, a forgiving heart, a merciful heart. Because, Lord, we want to be forgiven by you. We want, Lord, to obtain your mercies. We want to be, Lord, in your perfect will. We want you, Lord, to always bless us. Because this is what you want to do. You prefer, Lord, to show us mercy than to judge us, than to punish us. And Lord, we love you so much for that. I pray, Lord, for everyone who is listening to this right now or watching this right now. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will speak to them. Let it be, Lord, as early as tonight, as early as, Lord, right now, that they will make things right with that person. And that person, and that person, and that person. May they come, Lord, to agreement that what they need to do is to forgive. And I pray, Lord, equally that the other person, Lord, will also forgive. We bless your holy name, Lord. Thank you for this word. Lord, we shall always, always, always love you forever and ever. Thank you for your mercies. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.